Welcome to The Business Wilderness, a podcast focused on the world of entrepreneurs and the best practices they need to follow to navigate the complex world of business. We feature thought-provoking topics and industry experts on every show.
Welcome to The Business Wilderness. My name is Ahmed and I am your host. And today we have a very special guest, Mr. Arthur Root. Arthur, welcome to the show, buddy. How are you?
Hey, Ahmed. Good to hear from you. I'm doing fantastic. It's a sunny day here in New York City, so all smiles.
Awesome. Arthur, let's go back in time. Who was Arthur as a young man?
Yeah, so we can go back from the start. I've kind of always been a hustler of some sort. So you go back to even my days in middle school, I, you know, always had some sort of business, whether it was selling candy out of a locker, inventing, you know, breaking into the science lab to invent ever cold water by infusing water and mint, all the way through, you know, college and after college. You know, I've been an entrepreneur through and through. So, you know, I got my first job when I was around 15 years old. I was able to work at a technology company, a Series A levels, you know, on the smaller side, software, healthcare technology company. And, you know, at that company, I was tasked with doing what I would deem some pretty boring marketing tasks. And so that's kind of where I fell in love with software and marketing. So, you know, the first day I kind of went in, I did my tasks and left. And, you know, I was very disappointed and sad because, you know, I'd heard all about these amazing tech companies in Silicon Valley and how they were so innovative. And I was pretty much scraping the internet manually. And so that's when I discovered, you know, the power of software. And so, you know, I ended up building a software and automating my job and had that job for a couple of years without actually having to do my job, which was great. And that was kind of my first piece of marketing technology software that I'd built. And I built it in-house at a company. And then, you know, worked at a variety of other startups, you know, all the way ranging from startups all the way to, you know, Comcast, NBC. And, you know, I didn't really love working for someone else. And it's just not in my personality. There's nothing wrong with if that is someone's personality. It's just not me. I like the idea of just waking up and figuring it out. And so, you know, I started a travel business that was okay. And then, you know, I went to Indiana University, which is where I kind of began my, you know, starting a travel business. You know, was built a travel app, a B2B software for travel companies. And, you know, it was fine. You know, it was exciting, but it wasn't, you know, ultra exciting. We'd raised some venture capital dollars and did all that. And then, you know, after university, I decided, you know, that, you know, I'm going all in on this startup life. And, you know, one of my co-founder who I'd met during university, he was doing his master's in AI when I was doing undergrad. You know, we kind of circled around this problem that we were working on, and we just were so excited. You know, we were talking to people about it and just got so excited about it. Our customers were excited to work with us. And so it morphed into kind of what we're working on today.
Fantastic. And what are you working on today?
Yeah, so I'm working on a company called Nostra. So kind of the way that website optimization works today is, as a marketer, I have to run A/B tests. So I will run traffic to a website and test out if image one performs better than image two, or if call to action one performs better than call to action two. And as you can imagine, it takes a lot of visitors. It's very manual, and it's just not a good process generally. And so as a result, people, you know, get very mediocre results from running A/B tests. You know, maybe they get a 20% increase, you know, after 6 months. And so what we've discovered is we've built this really, really state-of-the-art AI that takes information on who is visiting a website. So we'll take information from third-party data sources. So think about like a Clearbit, as well as first-party data sources. So, you know, what advertisement they came in from, what data we have on this individual in the CRM, in the CDP, et cetera. And then based on who that individual is, we let our customers upload all their different images, all their different calls to action, all their different customer testimonials, any piece of content that they could possibly want. And then based on who that individual is, we will in real time, and actually real time, build an entire website that is ultra personalized and optimized for that individual so that they will take the desired outcome. So we might decide, image one, call to action two, customer testimonial six, color scheme three is what's most likely to get Arthur to convert. And then we will display that in real time to that individual.
Wow, that sounds amazing. So you guys have really dug deep on the whole personalization journey, which is really the future of marketing, or current and future, because online e-commerce stores have a huge issue with conversion rates and abandoned carts and whatnot. So you guys also tackle that component of it?
Yeah, we do that. And we do it in a way that makes it so that, one, websites are faster using our software, and I'll get into that later. But two, it takes literally none of our clients' time. So we were working with one of the biggest motorcycle magazines in the world. And they set it, and over the next month, increased conversions by 20-30%, click-through rate by 250%+, and they're still getting better and better results. But they also spent zero time doing anything. They just said it and absolutely did nothing. Wow. And so it saves the marketer time as well.
Absolutely. Resources on all fronts, hiring people, so on, so on. Take me through some of the patterns and trends that you guys are seeing as you're starting to roll out your product, how the different companies are using you guys and the real benefits that you guys are seeing from companies.
Yeah. So we're seeing an interesting customer journey on our end. So we see customers that begin with saying, hey, can you just test this out? This sounds fantastic, but it's marketing tech. And there are, 8,000 different marketing tech companies. This sounds fantastic, but it might be too good to be true. Yeah. And so we see them testing it out with one landing page, so just one page. And they get these incredible results. And then we see them going from one page to 20 pages, 50 pages. And that's when you get really cool recommendation systems. So you can start optimizing journeys across pages, all without the human having to do anything. And, stuff that it's impossible for a human to do. So that's been one of the really cool things. And the other thing that we found very interesting is customers are starting to take this data on what's working on this website for people that come in from, let's say, Facebook ad one. They're seeing very directly people who come in from Facebook ad one respond very well to this image. And then what they're doing, it's really interesting. They're taking this image and putting it into that Facebook ad and then seeing, better click-through rates on that Facebook ad, which, overall increases their return on ad spend, one on the website and two on the Facebook ads platform. And so what we're seeing is a shift. Actually, people used to test with their advertisements, test content with their advertisements to see what works. Now we're seeing kind of a shift back to the website. People are testing things on their website to then update their paid media. And so that's been a very interesting shift in the market that we think that we've been a big part of changing.
Wow, that's definitely that's a huge shift, because now the efficiency is flowing from their website to their ad copy on the different social networks, which is going to increase click-through rates, conversions, so on. So you're having this adverse effect all the way through, which is pretty powerful to anybody who's run marketing campaigns before. Let's move on to what are the biggest challenges that you guys faced in building this? Because, you just told us your story beforehand, but it wasn't, that easy. I'm sure you guys would have faced a ton of challenges and barriers to entry and whatnot. Share them with us and how you overcame them.
Hello?
Yep. Arthur, can you hear me?
Oh, yep. Sorry. Yep. Sorry. I think we broke up there for a second.
Okay. No worries. So basically what I was saying is share with us the challenges and the barriers that you overcame throughout this journey, because I'm sure it didn't just happen so smoothly.
Yeah. So we had a lot of challenges, a lot of barriers that we overcame. And I can think of a couple that I'll start off with. And, you know, my engineering team would love to hear this. So, and I love them. So I'm going to start off with the technical challenge, which is we're running billions of combinations of content, and we need to do all this without affecting the page load speed time. And so you can imagine that, you know, going the typical path of just going through a content management system would be slow. And you'd be correct if you tried to do that. The page load speed originally was like a second. And that's, you know, that's not acceptable. And so what we discovered were these things called serverless cloud functions that came out in 2017 and really haven't been useful until 2019, 2020. And what we've found is by hosting everything and doing a, you know, what I would call a pattern interrupt of sorts on the content delivery network level, with these serverless cloud functions that are brand new, we're actually able to run these billions of combinations of content and make a decision and display that to the visitor all in 150 milliseconds. So the page load speed by hosting everything on these serverless cloud functions actually goes down from, you know, the average being 500, 600 milliseconds to around 100, 150 milliseconds. And so that was probably the single coolest technical innovation that I've ever seen. That I'm super excited about. And then, you know, on a personal note, kind of, you know, we started this company, and yeah, I have a strong background in marketing, but, you know, we decided, all right, we want to start a company. And we couldn't get on the phone with, you know, CMOs, et cetera, to understand their pain points. And so one of the cool things that we did was we started a YouTube series and started inviting these CMOs on, these high-powered CMOs, and just asking them about their lives, about their problems, about what they see in the market, what they like, what they don't like. And this led directly to us, you know, discovering this problem, bringing on some trusted advisors from this network, and discovering what to build. So those are kind of the two things. One was like, hey, what should we build? And then we got this great concept of what we should build from some expert marketers. And then, you know, we were like, all right, well, we know what we want to build. We built it and we're like, well, this is slow. This isn't effective. And so then we went back and built this incredible software that, you know, hats off to the engineering team here, because they're just unbelievable. And we built this incredible software to fulfill this need. And now, you know, everything's going kind of exactly as planned.
Can you just laymanize what serverless cloud functions are to those that don't understand?
Yeah, of course. So content delivery networks have, I guess the best way to understand this is a content delivery network is made up of edge servers. And so these are, the way it works is rather than calling any server in the world to then deliver content to Arthur, who's in New York, or, you know, Hayden, who's in San Francisco, or Julie, who's in London, what a content delivery network will do is they'll find the closest server to Hayden, to Arthur, to Julie, and they will in real time, it'll route it through that server, and without having to adjust kind of where your cloud setup is, without having to actually host servers in all these different places, we're able to route the traffic through there and using, you know, Cloudflare, CloudFront, and other CDNs.
Wow, powerful. Very, very powerful. It's really changing the whole marketing automation and marketing software landscape, because the number one thing now with optimization and whatnot is speed, page load speed, because consumers are so used to having things so convenient, so easy, and so fast. So those that don't get it below the 3 second, 4 second, 5 second mark, they're really falling behind. So definitely interesting. Moving along, you've been through this journey, you've faced obstacles, you've told us how you came to where you are today, the different experiences along the way. Very interesting. What advice or tips would you be willing to give to other founders looking to, you know, build their own company, solve a problem, build a solution, so on, so on?
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where it's just not easy. It's not an easy thing to do. But I, you know, one of the conversations that I go back to frequently is there was a partner at a venture firm. His name's Rick Lewis. And he gave me a piece of advice when he was saying, hey, you know, it's coming out of business school. I didn't know, you know, he said he wanted to become a venture capitalist. And he got a piece of advice from someone, which was, well, where do you see, what do you want to be in 10 years? He said, well, I'd like to be a venture capitalist in 10 years. And so, you know, his advice was become a, you know, apply to the job, see if you can get it. He ended up getting it. And so he's, you know, 10 years later, he's a venture capitalist with 10 years of experience. And so the piece of advice that I would give myself and that I go back to is, well, what do I want to be in 10 years? Well, I want to be an entrepreneur that has 10 years of experience building companies or 20 years of experience building companies, whatever it is. And so I just go in and do it. There's no silver bullet. There's no, hey, you know, talk to your customers and then they'll tell you what to do. For some businesses, that's right. Or you take the Steve Jobs approach, which is, you know, you just know, you just happen to know. So there's nothing there. And then the other thing would be a Steve Jobs quote, which is there's really no penalty for starting a business. Now, of, you know, within reason. And the concept there is if you leave your job at Google or Facebook or, you know, wherever, and you build a business and it doesn't work out, you just absolutely fail, you know, you lose all the investors' money, et cetera, you're going to go right back to Google or Facebook or Snapchat and you'll get a promotion because you will have experience and you'll do all these things. So that's the worst case scenario for many, you know, engineers, I guess, out there. And then the best case is obviously you built a business, everything went, you know, well, and you just kept going. And so, you know, my advice is if you want to do it, you just got to jump in and do it. There's no silver bullet. There's nothing that somebody's going to say that will immediately, oh, wow, you know, you know, Paul Graham said, you know, do this, that, and the other thing, and then you'll immediately be successful. It's work hard, go in and just do it.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen, some wise wisdom and advice from a very wise man. Mr. Arthur Root, thank you very much for joining me on the Business Wilderness.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been an honor, and I look forward to getting together soon.
Likewise. Take care, my man.
Thanks for listening to the Business Wilderness. Subscribe to our show for the latest episodes on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And for more information, check out our website at businesswilderness.com.